Does anybody, who remembers this guy? Clearly the back corner does. Some of the adults do. Great. I'm glad some of you do. For those of you that don't, either you're asleep or you weren't here. Okay? That's one of the two options. This guy, we talked about him in the Leviticus series. It was pointed out to me that he was a young boy in the time of the Leviticus series, and he had a beard, which was a bit strange. But now, he's still around in Jesus' day. So, I think he's quite justified in having a beard, don't you? Right? In fact, it's quite short, really. Could be a lot longer than that. This is Johnny, short for Jonadab or something like that. Some Jewish sounding name. But this is Johnny. And today, Johnny is going to take us through the passage that's next in our series on Matthew. This is Johnny's day with Jesus. So, here we go. Johnny, it's been a long time since Leviticus, really. He did well then. He had some good experiences. Came to know God in a better way, a deeper way, we think, after the stories. But now, Johnny isn't in a great place. That's the reality. He's seen a lot through the centuries, and he's just got tired of it. He's quite despondent. He's quite discouraged. Anyone feel like that a little bit today? He doesn't feel at peace a whole lot, a little bit anxious, worried about the future, worried if he's going to be alive in another 2,000 years' time. Life isn't fantastic. And so one day, Johnny was, he can't sleep very well, so he's up early in the morning, probably something like 4 o'clock. The sun's beginning to creep over the horizon. The day is about to dawn. And Johnny was sitting there on his front step, kind of gazing out, thinking about life. How am I going to figure all this out? How am I going to, how can I get back to the place I was in when I was a little boy and, you know, we were killing goats and all that kind of stuff? How can I get back there? And on this particular day, one of Johnny's friends came along. 4 o'clock in the morning, wasn't a normal thing to happen. But one of Johnny's friends came along, past the house, said, Johnny, come on, come with me. We're going to go and see someone amazing today, right? We're going to go and see this guy. And Johnny had heard of the guy that his friend was talking about. Do you want to give his friend a name? Because I didn't think about that. Bob, right? Bob. I'm sure the guy in the other story was called Bob as well. Anyway, Bob, Johnny's friend, says, we're going to go and see a guy called Jesus. And Johnny had heard a few things about this guy, Jesus. Heard that he'd been doing some pretty amazing things. To be really fair, Johnny didn't really believe it, I don't think. All the stories, they must be like blown up. They must be embellished. They must be, I don't know. People are just getting excited about something that can't be real, can it? But Johnny's friend said, we're going to go and see him. So what they did is they went down to the lake. Johnny's friend had heard that Jesus and his disciples, his closest friends, had got in a boat and were going over the lake to the other side. And so Johnny and his friend got in a small rowing boat, and they were rowing over the lake as fast as they possibly could. Johnny had one oar, Bob had the other one, and they were going as quickly as they possibly could over the other side of this lake to a place called Gennesaret, if I've even pronounced that properly. They were going over there. And thankfully, they reached the other side early morning, and they saw a group of people on the beach, right? And they kind of got a bit closer, and Johnny's friend Bob looked at the group of people, and he said, Johnny, that's him. That's the guy I've been talking about. That is Jesus. He's the one who's been doing all these incredible things. And so they got a bit closer, and they could see that they were just finishing up their breakfast. Jesus and his mates like to eat fish on the beach, you know that. And so they were finishing up their breakfast. They were just packing up, and they were about to walk up the hill towards the closest town. And so what they did, Johnny and his mate fell in behind them. And they kind of walked along. They could see Peter. They didn't really know it was Peter, but there he was. And James and John and all Jesus' disciples. And they kind of fell in behind them. And as they were walking along just behind, they were listening to what they were saying. And Jesus' disciples were talking about what had happened to them the previous night. And they were kind of telling the story of what had happened to them when they'd gone over the lake. And they were describing this massive storm that had blown up, right? A huge storm, massive winds blowing across the lake. And Johnny and Bob were like, phew, thank goodness we didn't go till the early morning. But the disciples were like, it was terrifying. Some of them were fishermen. They knew how to handle boats. They knew what they were doing. But they were like, we've never seen anything like this. We've never known anything so terrifying in all of our lives. We really thought we were going to die. That's what they were saying. And they were talking about it and, you know, all the banter, and everyone was saying, well, you were more scared than me and you were more scared than me and all this kind of stuff. And they got onto the story and they said, but isn't it amazing what Jesus was doing while this storm was blowing our boat about? And it came out that Jesus was sleeping in the bottom of the boat. While the storm was raging all around them, these disciples are freaking out, thinking they were going to die. Jesus was snoring in the bottom of the boat. And the story went on that the disciples, obviously freaking out, terrified, thinking they were going to die, they kind of shook Jesus. And obviously they know how special Jesus is and the things that he can do. And they shook him. And they said, don't you care? Why are you sleeping? Don't you care that we're going to die in this storm? And so they shook him. And here's the amazing bit. As Johnny was listening, he was like, that can't really be true, can it? But they said that Jesus stood up, went to the sides of the boat, and he literally talked to the wind. He talked to the waves. Bit of a strange thing to do. I mean, we don't know the exact words, but basically Jesus said, shut up. I know your mum and dad's told you that's rude, but Jesus said it to the waves. And do you know what happened? They stopped. The waves stopped. The wind stopped. There was absolute peace. Calm. Quiet. No more danger. No more fear. No more worry, no more being terrified because you think something awful is going to happen. All of it just stopped. And as Johnny listened to this story, do you know, there were kind of two sides of it. The first side of it, he thought, really? Have these old guys all just kind of gone to sleep in the bottom of the boat and had some funky nightmare together? It can't be true. Like, it can't really have happened, can it? People don't speak to wind and waves and they obey them. It just doesn't work. Anyone tried to get the rain to stop? It definitely doesn't work around here, does it? It doesn't work at all. You can't make it happen. So Johnny was like, I'm not really sure. And yet it seemed so real. It seemed so real what these guys were saying. That they just, surely they can't be making this up. They kind of all hallucinated at the same time and saw this guy apparently calm the waves that weren't really there. And you know, Johnny thought, that peace, that calm that they're talking about, I kind of want some of that. I kind of want some of that inside. All the worries and fears and all the stuff that's going on in my life that I can't seem to cope with right now. I want some of that peace, and this isn't working. Come on. Yes. I want that kind of peace. I want to be at rest. I want all my worries, my fears to be taken away. Johnny didn't have too much time to think about the story about the lake, because what happened was this. They were going up the side of the hill towards the nearest town. And this is what happened. You see, there were two roads that led up to this town. And one of them was kind of up the cliff face, and it was the shortest route, the easiest, or the quickest way to get there, maybe not the easiest, but you could go right and you could go up the cliffside towards the town, or you could go around the kind of back way. So you could go a gentler, not so steep, but took you longer to get round the side. And as Johnny was following Jesus and his disciples, Jesus, who was obviously at the front, he said, we're going right. Now that may not sound strange to you right now, but to them it was. Because, do you know, no one ever went right. No one ever went right because it was dangerous. You never went up the side of the cliff because there were some dangerous people that lived there. May sound a bit freaky and a bit scary, but this is the truth. This is what went on. There were two guys there who were possessed by demons, and some pretty angry, pretty vicious demons. Not nice, but that was the reality of it. And so if you went that way, basically, you was going to get beaten up, basically. And people had tried to go that way. They tried to subdue these guys, but they were too strong, too vicious, too violent. And you didn't go that way. You went the other way because you wanted to stay alive or at least not get a beating. But Jesus chose to go the other way. And Johnny was at the back, and he'd heard about this. He'd never been here before, but he'd heard about the story. He knew where these guys were. They were hiding in the cave just up there. And he thought, what are we doing? He began to get a bit scared. Why are we going this way? No one goes this way. Jesus is crazy, isn't he? And he began to think, well, maybe I could back up and I could go the other way around and then meet them at the town. But something drew him on to follow Jesus, to go after him. And as they went up the hillside, the cliff kind of side, towards the town, they were all watching and waiting, and clearly the disciples were maybe a little bit nervous as well. They didn't know what was going to happen. Are these guys going to run out? Are they there? Are they sleeping? Or what's happening? And after a few minutes, the guys started to run out. And Johnny was basically there. You know how you do. He's in, like, I'm about to leg it mode. You know what that is? I'm about to go backwards as fast as I possibly can to get away from this. But as these two guys came closer, Johnny was getting more and more nervous. Something was different. See, these guys were violent. They were vicious. There was something clearly terribly wrong with them. But as they came closer to Jesus, they didn't get violent. They didn't come with fists raised, ready to give these guys a beating. Do you know what they did? They came and they worshipped. They worshipped. Not exactly sure what it looked like, whether they fell in front of Jesus, but the story says they worshipped him. They worshipped him. They talked about him being the Son of God. And they said, what have you got to do with us? Why are you coming to us? Why are you coming close to us? And they didn't do anything. They didn't have a go at him. They didn't attack him. It was almost like they couldn't attack him. And Johnny's watching this going, this is mad. What's going on? Why? Why are these guys acting so differently to Jesus than to anyone else? And do you know what happened? Jesus said to these guys with the demons, in fact, they asked him a question. They said, you're going to throw us out, aren't you? You're going to get rid of us. Well, if you get rid of us, will you send us into that herd of thousands of pigs over the other side of the cliff? Will you send us into the pigs? We don't just want to be sent out. We want to go there. And Jesus agreed. Now, I don't know if you've ever seen thousands of pigs together. I don't think I ever have, to be honest with you. Four or five is the most. But it must have been a pretty mad thing. Because what Johnny saw with his own eyes, he wasn't quite sure what was going on, but he saw Jesus talk to these demon-possessed men. He said, get lost, get into the pigs. And then all these pigs, sounds funny, but it probably wasn't funny, all of them ran off the edge of the cliff. Like lemmings. Anyone play lemmings? Or is that like a blast from the past that none of the kids have a clue about? They were like lemmings. They all ran off the edge of the cliff. Now, that sounds funny to us a couple of thousand years later. But do you know, to the guys then, it wasn't funny at all. It wasn't funny at all. And what happened was, because all these pigs run off the edge of the cliff, they were these guys' livelihood who owned them. And they came out of the town and they started having a go at Jesus. And they said, we don't want someone like you in our town. What are you doing? Why are you sending our pigs off the edge of the cliff and into the sea? And they all said, go away. We don't want this kind of thing in our town. But you know what? As Johnny watched all this happen, he couldn't help but notice, not the people freaking out, not the angry people sending Jesus away, but the two guys who once had been outcasts, living in a cave on their own, everyone terrified of them because they had this superhuman strength, nobodies, hated, feared, ostracized from every kind of society. And do you know what these two guys were doing? They were sat down at Jesus' feet. Someone had found them some clothes, and they were sat there, normal, in their right mind. They were free. They were free. Jesus had set them free. And Johnny was just, his mind was going crazy. His mind was boggling, to be honest. The very definition of having your mind boggled, blown. What is going on here, he was saying. What is this all about? How can Jesus do this? When everyone else gets beaten up, he somehow sets these guys free. So obviously Jesus has been sent away from the town. So they went back down the hillside, back past the fire where they'd had breakfast, and they got into the boats and they had to sail back over the other side of the lake. which is a bit annoying, obviously, but they got over there probably maybe by lunchtime or mid-afternoon or whatever it was, and they got back to the place where Johnny lived. And what happened was this: Jesus decided to go and teach in a house. Jesus was an amazing teacher. Everyone was saying how great the things he was saying were. And Jesus set up in someone's house, and basically everyone in the town came to listen to him. Everyone was like, Jesus is down the road. Let's go and hear him. Let's go and see what he's doing. Let's go and listen to the amazing stuff that he is saying. But Johnny was lucky, see? Because he was in the boat following after Jesus, he got front row seats. He's probably sitting on the floor just in front of Jesus. And he's there, for a few hours maybe listening. And all the time Jesus was speaking, it was incredible, really, the stuff that he was saying. But then something even crazier happened. As Johnny was sitting there in front of Jesus, listening to him, that suddenly there came like a noise above him. And suddenly some of the roof kind of started dropping down. And immediately Johnny's in his right, let's leg it pose again, because the roof's coming down, man. Let's get out of here, as you should be if this roof starts falling down, okay? Leg it. But anyway, this is what happened. Stuff from the roof was falling down. And after a while, there was a gap opened up. And bizarrely enough, people's faces started looking down through the gap into the room. And Johnny's looking up there. He's like, what's going on? And eventually, this gap was big enough for a bed. Big enough for a bed to be lowered down. And that's exactly what happened. So Johnny's looking up and he's like, is that a bed? What's going on here? The bottom of the bed, and it's coming down out of the ceiling. It's been lowered down slowly but surely, right in front of where Jesus is standing. And so Johnny, again, has got front row seats. And he looks at this bed. As it's coming down, he's like, what's going on here? What's going to be on this bed? And as he looks, there's a guy. And Johnny knew this guy. This was his town, remember? And he knew that this guy had never been able to walk. And it immediately clicks in Johnny's mind. He's like, this guy, he wants Jesus to do something for him. He wants Jesus to heal him. He wants Jesus to make him better. And I'm pretty sure that's what the whole room was thinking. Everyone was sat around looking at this unfold, looking at the bed coming out of the ceiling and looking at the guy now sat on the bed or lying on the bed in front of Jesus. And everyone's thinking, well, what's going to happen? Can Jesus do this? We've heard about all the other stuff he can do. I've heard about him calming a storm. I've seen, I think, him casting demons out of people into pigs. I've heard all the other stories. Can Jesus do this? And so everyone's there thinking, what's Jesus' next words going to be? And Johnny was thinking, are his next words going to be, stand up? Stand up and walk. Is that what it's going to be? And so you can imagine the kind of tension in the room. Everyone's anticipating what's going to happen. Everyone's can't wait to hear what Jesus is going to say. And do you know what Jesus' first words are? He doesn't say, stand up and walk. He says something else. He says, son, your sins are forgiven. And you can hear this kind of gasp. What? He's supposed to heal him. Jesus, you forgot. You got it wrong. You're supposed to get the guy to stand up and we can go, yay, that's amazing. But Jesus says, son, your sins are forgiven. And as Johnny's watching this, he's thinking what everyone else is thinking. How can he say that? How can he say that? How can anyone say that your sins are forgiven? You know, I know I can't do that. I can't forgive someone's sins. I know that I'm a sinner myself. Part of my problem is my guilt that I'm carrying around for all the stupid stuff I've done. I know that I can't forgive someone's sins. So how on earth can Jesus do that? But Jesus knew what people were thinking. Jesus knew what was in their minds. He knew that they were thinking, no one can do that. No one can forgive sins. And so knowing people's thoughts, he looked at everyone in the room, and he says this: what's easier to say? Is it easier to say your sins are forgiven? That's pretty easy to say, isn't it? Guys, I could say today, your sins are forgiven. And you don't know if that's true or not, do you? You don't know if I've forgiven your sin. You have no idea, because you can't see inside. You can't see. You have no idea. Is it easier to say that or stand up, pick up your bed and walk? And Jesus said, so that I can prove to you that I have the power to forgive sins, that I'm able to genuinely forgive you, clean every sin away, cleanse every stain, take care of all of your guilt. I'm going to do something else. And so he says to the man lying in front of him, take up your bed, stand up and walk. And again, it's one of those moments. Johnny's thinking, what's going to happen? What's going to happen? Is it going to take place? Is it not? Is this man really going to stand up? It's one of those moments that's probably just even a fraction of a second, but feels like it lasts forever. And then slowly but surely, the guy on the bed begins to sit up. He begins to put weight on one of his legs. He kind of pulls himself up, and now he's standing on both legs. And you can see he's a bit like, what's going on? He's a bit, he hasn't experienced this ever. And he begins to kind of test. Am I really standing up? Am I really on my two feet? Am I really able to do this myself? And he begins to take steps and to walk, the first steps he's ever taken. And Johnny thought, do you know what? Jesus just showed us, didn't he? He showed us. He proved to us that he can forgive sins. He's showing me. I'm beginning to believe that he really is someone incredibly special. And you know what happened then? You can imagine what happened, can't you? I mean, a guy who's never been able to walk is suddenly standing around, walking, running, jumping, dancing. And he leaves the house and he's going home and everyone's, that's amazing. That is incredible. We can't believe what we've just seen. And so most people, at least, are celebrating. They're jumping for joy. They're shouting. They're singing. There's a party going on because Jesus has made this man better. Jesus brought joy to that room that day. But the last thing that happened on that day, Johnny's seen all this happen. He's heard about the peace of the storm being calmed. He's heard about, or he's seen in front of his eyes, the freedom from these for these men. He's heard Jesus talk about forgiveness. He's seen him prove it by making this man walk again. He's seen the joy that that brings. And Johnny's like, do you know, I really want some of this. I really want some of this for myself. Maybe Jesus is the one who can give me all of this stuff. Maybe he's the one who can fix me. Maybe he's the one who can sort out this life that's broken. Maybe he's the one that I need. But then as they were walking, Johnny continued to follow Jesus. He finished teaching in the house and he started walking through the town again. And then something strange happened. It wasn't as mad or as radical as the other things, but you know, Jesus walked past a guy called Matthew. Now, Matthew was a tax collector. He was a guy who people hated. He was a guy who everyone looked down on. He was a guy who kind of worked for the Romans, and he stole money off people basically to line his own pockets. He was a thief. He was rich off the back of everyone else's misfortune. He wasn't a nice person, and no one really liked Matthew. He didn't have a huge amount of friends. And as Jesus walked past the place where Matthew was sat, Jesus said something that Johnny wasn't expecting. Johnny, like any other good Jew, was thinking, oh, Matthew, Jesus will walk past him. Jesus won't have anything to do with him. But as Jesus walked past Matthew, he calls to him. And he says to him, Matthew, come. Follow me. Come after me. You become one of my people as well, one of my disciples. You come and follow me. And Johnny's thinking, surely not. Surely not. That can't be right, can it? How can Jesus be calling a thief like that? How can Jesus be wanting a guy who steals money off us, good Jews, to make himself rich? Surely there's a mistake. And Johnny wasn't bold enough to say anything to Jesus, but he's thinking this. He's thinking that can't be right. And then, to be honest, to top it all off, Jesus goes with Matthew to a party, and he's in another house, and he's surrounded by not just Matthew, but a ton of people like Matthew. A ton of people who were tax collectors and sinners and people who were just despised by everyone else. And he's there with them, and it was a crazy scene, to be honest with you. All of the hated and the despised and the downcast, outcast people in the town were there with Jesus. And Johnny is torn. And he's thinking, do I really want to go in? I love what I've seen from this man, Jesus, but do I really want to spend time with all of these people? But Jesus, being pretty clever, knew what Johnny was thinking. And he knew what other people were thinking. And he knew what everyone was saying. Because everyone was saying exactly what Johnny was thinking. Why is Jesus with those people? Why isn't he with the religious people? Why isn't he with the upright, upstanding, the good people? Like, why is he going with all the sinners? Why is he going there? And Jesus said some words, knowing what people were thinking, knowing what was going on in their minds, what they were saying about him. He said, do you know, I didn't come for well people. I didn't come for good people. I didn't come like a doctor isn't needed by people who are healthy. I came for people who are sick. I came for people who are broken. I came for people who haven't got it all together. I came for people who need my help. And what Jesus was really saying, Johnny thought, was there are some people out there who don't think they need his help. Maybe they do, really. But anyway, Jesus said, these are the people I came to. And something dawned on Johnny's heart. Something kind of, his eyes were opened a little bit. And he thought, do you know what? I've been incredibly proud looking at all these people and judging them, thinking that I'm better than them, thinking that Jesus should never go near them. He should go for the good people like me. And it dawned on Johnny, do you know what? I'm not a good person. I haven't done everything right. That's part of the reason my life's in such a mess. I'm carrying around the guilt for some of the stupid stuff that I've done. I know that I'm not all together. But Johnny was like, I'm so glad that Jesus came for people like me. I'm so glad that Jesus didn't just come for people who got it together. I'm so glad he didn't just walk into the synagogue and pick the front few rows of the really keen people. I'm so glad he came for anyone. Anyone. Wherever you've been, whatever you've done, whatever your past, whatever you're carrying around, whatever burdens of guilt or shame or worry or stress. Do you know Jesus came for anyone, whoever it is, and he's willing to give these gifts peace in every storm. He's willing to stop all the stress and the anxiety and the worry if we'll trust him and let him. It doesn't take the storm away, but it gives you peace in the middle of it. He's willing to give freedom from everything that would bind you, me, us up. He's willing to forgive everything, clean slate, all washed away. And when you see him at work, it brings joy. This is what Jesus came to do. This is who he is. And on that day, Johnny's life was changed because he saw, I need this. I need this man. He is the one who can meet every need that I have. And so that day, Johnny said, Jesus, I'm yours. Jesus, I'm going to follow you because I know you have the answers. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word today. Thank you for these incredible stories that just give us pictures, real life pictures of what you came to do for every single one of us. And Lord, though we may not see you in front of us in flesh today, you're just as real as you were then. And you're just as powerful. And you're just as compassionate. And you are the one who can meet every need. You are the one who can break every chain. You are the one who can give us peace even in the midst of the storms of life. You are still the one who forgives completely, entirely, everything washed away. And so Lord, help us, we pray. Help us to respond to you as Matthew did on that day. And he just followed. left everything behind and followed. Lord, teach us what that means. Show us what it means for us today. Whether we've been following you for years and years and years, or whether today could even be the first time, Lord, help us to trust. Help us to follow, we pray. And thank you that as we do, you'll bring joy to all of our hearts and to our lives. Thank you again for all that you are, all that you do for us. And we just again pray your blessing on each one of us now. In Jesus' name, amen.